This is episode 168 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I am just back from a fabulous 2 weeks in Oregon, spending time with my family on the beach. Such a beautiful reset and space to connect into my heart and soul. Ocean time is my thing for sure. I am so thrilled to introduce you to one of my extraordinary clients, Cynthia Farrell, today. Cynthia has been on an impressive journey as she is shaking up the world of culture and leadership with her legacy leadership work. In our interview today, she shares her leadership journey that she's taken, which has made her the leader she is, and is the foundation of her legacy leadership framework. She believes that the legacy that you leave in an organization is just as important as what you accomplish while you are there. She launched her podcast, This Is How We Lead, Conversations with Legacy Leaders, back in April, and interviewed a series of leaders on how they're leading in this crazy year we call 2020. She's just kicked off her second season. She's been on an impressive journey, and you will be inspired by this woman doing great things in the world. Let's meet Cynthia Farrell. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Cynthia.
Thanks so much, Cami. It's great to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you. It's so much fun watching you this year. You are rocking your business. I'm having so much fun watching you blossom. You've grown a six-figure plus business in less than a year, and it's so extraordinary. I love having you as a client.
Well, thank you so much. It's been quite an unexpected journey. It's been fantastic, and I'm so glad I made the leap into being a solopreneur, and I'm just really grateful that I've had the opportunity to be one of your clients and learn from you and also from the others in our mastermind group.
I know. It's the just the knowledge that's in that group and that circle is incredible. So that's always fun. So one thing I know is that you really do the work, right? You make the connections. What have you learned in this first year of being an entrepreneur?
I had to step into being really uncomfortable with those awkward moments and those awkward situations, which is not a space that I embrace. I mean, I am a complete extrovert. I love being with people. All of this kind of being in isolation, being in quarantine is really difficult because I get my energy from other people and from that interaction, that in-person interaction. And at the same time, I do not do well when I just walk into a giant room of, you know, 30, 40, 50, however many people that I don't know. I am very comfortable in smaller groups, 8-10 people. And I think that's because I make close connections that way. I can really have those close interactions with people really quickly. But in large groups, I feel very intimidated. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. And I just had to learn that I had to get over that. Mm-hmm. And as I've had the opportunity, when I moved out to Denver, because I just moved out here a little over a year ago from Minnesota, I didn't have a network out here, and I have an amazing network in Minnesota. So I had to be very thoughtful about reaching out to people and asking for help and saying, hey, I'm moving. I don't have a network. This was even before I had decided to go off on my own. So at that point, I'm like, okay, do I want to find another corporate job? Well, I need to network, you know, with individuals in the corporate arena. And what I found was that when I reached out and asked for help, people were very willing, very happy to introduce me to people. And I would reach out and say, you know, hey, I'm looking to network. I'm just looking to build my network and get to know the business environment in the Colorado market, get to know some more people, understand what industry looks like out here. And people were very willing to share their knowledge with me. And then I found myself getting invited to industry events and networking events. And I took as much advantage of that as possible, even though, like I said, it was very uncomfortable and very awkward for me. I had to step into that space of awkwardness, and to the point where, and I was just sharing this with you the other day, I mean, I was at an event last summer. And one of the people that I'd met had said, oh, you should go talk to Joe over there. Well, there's really no good, unawkward way to do that. So I went up to Joe and I said, Joe, so Jennifer said that I should meet you. And so I'm just going to come over here and be really awkward about it and introduce myself to you. And I think that level of vulnerability, that willingness to be really honest about how awkward it was. I mean, he laughed and it broke the ice and we ended up having a great conversation. And so that approach of just being willing to lean into the awkwardness, whether it's been making connections for work, for my business, for, you know, the nonprofit that I'm working with out here, and even with building friendships out here,
right,
has just been something that I've embraced and I have reaped the benefits of it a thousandfold.
And we can get so very comfortable in our communities. I mean, it's really interesting that you came here in this year, you know, in a year where things were going to just really get shook up. You know, who would have ever known, right? Mm-hmm. And the connections that you made when you first arrived have really proven to be, you know, this expansion for you, this expansion place for you. And you know, knowing that you're an extrovert, right? I mean, it's like you want and desire these, and that could have been really difficult had you not made those that stretch even from the very get-go.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the first individuals that I connected with, I had reached out to our former CEO from the company that I used to work at. He connected me to a CEO out here who connected me to like four other people. So now I think we're like 6 degrees down the line, and I was introduced to this wonderful woman named Anna. And again, I just reached out and said, hey, would love to meet you for coffee, talk about what you do. And she, I also noticed on her LinkedIn profile that she happened to be involved with a nonprofit, POSCO, an animal rescue, which is something that I was very involved with back in Minnesota. As a result of me, again, just leaning into that, that awkwardness of reaching out to people I didn't know, I have not only gotten to know Anna on a very personal level, she's become a very good friend to me, and has helped me continue to expand my business and my network here. She also got me involved with POSCO. And now I find myself less than a year later, I'm the chair of the board and I'm really enjoying the work that I'm doing there.
And that's what I'm talking about, doing the work, right? You're not sitting back and just, you know, kind of showing up in a way that's not active. It's like you taking on the chair of the board isn't active. You're going out there, you're doing the work.
Well, and you know, I really try to lean into saying yes to things that I am interested in and have passion for. One of my good friends has taught me, you know, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. Mm-hmm. And I try to keep that in mind with things. Like if I'm not really excited about something, do I really want to do it? And think about how I'm going to spend my time and my energy. But at the same time, if I'm thinking, yeah, I kind of want to do it, I'm not quite sure, well, I'm going to lean into it and I'm going to try it because some really amazing things can come out of it. And I've met some fantastic people as a result of working with POSCO and just really enjoy being part of that nonprofit community and being able to give back to my new home state.
Absolutely. And I think, as you know, I'm a big fan in finding a nonprofit or organization that we can give back to on our journey and growing. I mean, it's been an intricate part of my own journey of always being part of a board of a nonprofit, or right now I sit on the Women's Foundation of Colorado's board. And that connection, and I know you came out of sitting on boards in Minnesota and you're doing it here. How is that serving you? One, how does it fulfill you from a personal perspective? Because I think that's a really important part of that. But how has being on boards served you in your business?
You know, I have a really strong belief for myself, and you know, I would encourage this for others as well, but this is a belief for myself, is that I am a better person when all of the parts of me are getting fed. Mm-hmm. So the part of me that wants to do meaningful work with clients that I enjoy, the part of me that wants to give back and have a role and a voice, and for me, that passion area does happen to be animal rescue. You know, the part of me that is having that opportunity to spend a lot of time with friends and, you know, enjoy those interpersonal connections and do some travel. And obviously some of that right now is a little bit, you know, we've pulled back on that a little bit, but doing my best to continue to embrace that in my life. I have always, including when I was working, you know, a leadership role in an organization, leading an HR team, I always came at it from a perspective of, I am a better leader, colleague, boss, anything at work if I am making sure to give myself the space for all of the things that feed me. Yes. And that work that I do with the nonprofit is a part of that. And in terms of how that has, you know, it has affected my business. One of the things that I do in my work with clients is I do strategic planning. I help them with strategic planning. And it's something that I started doing a number of years ago in corporate America. And then I translated that into the work that I was doing with the rescue that I worked with, the nonprofit I worked with in Minnesota. And so I had a perspective on how to leverage this approach, this toolkit that I use called Grove Strategic Visioning, how to leverage that within a nonprofit. I'm actually doing the same thing with POSCO right now, but because of that work, it has actually led to client work for me as well with other nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And that is so fulfilling because I'm doing work that I love to do and I'm doing it for organizations where I have a passion and an interest and an emotional connection and I'm able to give back.
And when we find these organizations in which to work, that you know, we're making an impact where they're making an impact. It's so fulfilling and it's rewarding to see what you can create by bringing all of your expertise to the table to help that organization.
It is so rewarding to exactly what you said, Cami, to be able to help.
Yeah.
That I'm taking something that I'm really good at, that I, you know, have expertise in, and I am using that to, you know, leveraging that to be a service for an organization that in a way that will help them be successful in the future. And it's so fun to watch. And I get done with these sessions and I feel an incredible level of fulfillment. Not that I don't love doing the work with my corporate clients, I absolutely do, but it's just a different level of emotional fulfillment.
Exactly. And I really want to commend you because your company is growing really quickly. I know we were just chatting about that. The amount of work that's coming your way right now is really incredibly exciting. And what are you learning as you are in this space of this incredible growth of, you know, because when you come out of the corporate world, where, you know, you were a leader within an organization, a company, and leading teams of people. What are you learning now about running a business as an entrepreneur? You know, what did you carry forward? But also, what are the new pieces that you're, you know, really starting to say, you know, this is what I know now that I didn't know a year ago?
That's a great question. I think the piece that I carried forward is the importance of the relationships that I've built over time, mm-hmm. and the work that I did in the organizations, because the majority of all of my client work actually has either come from other leaders that I've worked with or connections that they have where they've referred me into the work.
Right. So the reputation that you have brought forward is really been an intricate part of this.
Absolutely. And that is, I think it's in part for two reasons. One, because of the work that I did when I was at those organizations, the what I was able to deliver, the results I was able to get. And then also how I left those organizations, that it's very important to me to leave an organization well, that, you know, when I leave with respect, with trust, with integrity, you know, that my house is clean and that people then are willing to engage with me. They want to engage with me even after I've left an organization because they know the work that I do and they know the integrity that I have. And I left on really good terms. And so that is so important. And I'm so glad that I built that completely unintentionally, because I had no intention of going off on my own. But I am so glad that I really was thoughtful about the relationships that I built and how I left those organizations, even when the reason I was leaving, like once in one instance, you know, we got acquired and my job was eliminated.
Right.
Might not have been the best situation, but I did everything I could to make sure that they were in a great place when I left and left with integrity. And that energy has come back to me in a positive way.
Yes. And I think, and I like that you actually call it energy, because I think that's the, you know, it's that positive karma, if you will. It's the positive mm-hmm. karma that we're creating in the communities that we're in. And I know when we get into your work and talking about legacy leaders actually leave places better than what right. they were when they started. And my guess is that if you go back to these, you know, the different circumstances, you left those places in a better place. And that's why they're saying, my gosh, I need you to help us with this project.
I certainly hope so. That was my intent.
Yeah. Yeah. So what have you learned about growing your business in a year of quarantine? And it's not a year of quarantine. It's worth letting me be clear about that. It's in the 5 months of quarantine we've been in. What have you learned?
You know, I had a couple of really slow months. And I will be completely honest that I swirled quite a bit. Mm-hmm. My work, you know, really slowed down because the majority of my primary clients, contacts are the heads of HR. And well, you know what? They had bigger fish to fry mm-hmm. than, you know, the type of work that I am involved in. And it was really important to me to give them space, right? I was not going to try and hound them or right. follow up with them. They needed space. I was in that role. I'm very glad I'm not having to work through that right now. And I took that time to, you know, in working with you, thinking about my business, how I wanted to build it up and build it forward. But I think the biggest thing that came out of it for me was actually one of the sayings. I have it on a post-it sitting on my desk, and it comes from one of my yoga philosophy books. And the statement is, everything is moving at the proper speed.
I love it.
And that's hard when right. you're sitting there and you don't have a contract, you don't have work, and you don't know when that next project's going to come. And I actually had written that down last fall when I had put a proposal out and ended up not getting it. And I, you know, went back and I looked at this yoga book, and that was the line that I pulled out of it and wrote down on this post-it note. And it has become so important as we've been dealing with all of the impacts this year of COVID and what that's meant for business, is that I have to trust that everything's moving at the proper speed. And if I go back to last fall, if I had gotten that contract, that project, I would have not have engaged with another client that has been a long-term engagement, that has been incredible work, and I've been able to have a really meaningful impact in that organization. And if I had not had those 2 months where I had some downtime, I wouldn't have been prepared mentally, emotionally, energetically for all of the work that then came at me in May. And I may not have even been able to take it. So it's actually been a good reminder to me that it will come when it's the right time for it to come, as long as I keep doing the work.
Right, right. And I love that you recognize that, to trust it, right? And I think that's the big piece of it. As entrepreneurs, we always want things to grow really quickly. And sometimes those pauses are truly a blessing. I mean, that's when you launched your podcast. I mean, there's so much that unfolded at that point. So it's like, I think that if we learn to trust and to learn to be in that flow, and then what you found was that you had this incredible amount of business come your way. So I think that's really useful. It's really helpful. I love that. And say that the quote again that you have.
Everything is moving at the proper speed.
Love it.
No, the key to that is I can't just sit here and wait for it, right? Like no. I said, I have to still be doing the work, not passively waiting. But if I'm doing the work, the right things will come.
Right, right. And even that's when your brand really took shape, right? I mean, that was, that's like when the clarity around what you wanted to stand for took shape. I love that. I'd like to go back to your leadership journey. You know, you've been on a really successful career in your business world over the course of your career. And so tell us more about the journey you've been on and what's the most important experience that you've had and how it's really shaped what you believe about leadership.
I'm going to bookend this with a really early experience and then a recent experience that has really shaped who I am as a leader and how I approach leadership. So really early experience. I was in my first job out of college, my first corporate job. And, you know, so I'm in my early 20s. I am completely full of myself. I look back on this and I am just like, oh my God, I was a horrible, horrible employee. I mean, I was a total pain in the butt. And and I thought that I had it all figured out, right?
Right.
And I had a really, really wonderful manager. And he pulled me aside one day, took me to lunch, and he sat me down and he said, Cynthia, if you don't change the way that you behave, nobody is going to want to work with you.
Ooh.
And that was really tough. It was probably the first really rough feedback I'd ever gotten. And he said it in a very kind and compassionate, but honest way. Mm-hmm. And I look back on all of the ways that I have learned to give feedback to people. And so much of that came from Paul, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, him sitting me down and having the courage to have that honest conversation with me and to step into that uncomfortable space, that changed the trajectory of my career. Mm. And I hope at some point I'll have the opportunity to tell him that and thank him for that, because it was not easy to hear, but man, did I reflect on that. And I did, over time, really start to change my behavior. And it's funny because I tell people that story now and they're like, oh, I totally can't imagine you like that. I'm like, oh yeah, I was a total pain butt to work with. And so, you know, now we fast forward, you know, 20-ish years, over 20 years, and I was in a role in an organization and they were going to be centralizing our function. And I was approached and told, hey, you know, we are going to be centralizing. We are tapping you. You know, we really think that we want you to be the leader of the function, which would have been a promotion. Well, for a variety of reasons I won't bore you with, I ended up not getting the promotion. I ended up getting passed over for the promotion. And Cammy, I spun about that for a year. I gave it so much energy. I gave it so much emotion and time and space that it did not deserve. And I let it impact me on a personal self-esteem level that was just, was not deserving of what the situation was. And about a little over a year after that happened, I happened upon a role at another organization and I made the decision to move. And I will say it was not running away from something. I was going to a really amazing opportunity. And so I went to this opportunity and was in an amazing role in an amazing company for a year. And I'd been in that role for a year. And my manager made the decision to leave and to go back to her home state. And came in to tell me that and said, you know, I'm leaving and we would like you to be the new SVP of HR. Now, I have no background in broad-based HR. All of my experience at this point is in learning, talent, organizational development. And here I have a leadership team that has so much trust in me that they're offering me a really big promotion because they trust that I can do the work.
Right.
And I compare that to, you know, what had happened, you know, 2.5 years prior. And I think what was so important for me, what shifted over that period of time, because I did, after that, you know, after I got passed over for that promotion, after a lot of introspection, I really came to understand why that action, why getting passed over impacted me so profoundly, and that it wasn't anything that had to do with me or my self-worth or my value or what I was capable of. And so when I went into this next organization, I went in and with complete intention of being 100% myself. You know, here I am, I'm going to be authentic. What you see is what you get. I know I have blind spots. I know I'm working on them, but I'm going to be the best leader, colleague, you know, manager that I can be. And the result is that really amazing things came to me. Right. And so I guess the lesson in all of that around my leadership journey and where this has framed up my philosophy on leadership is it comes back to, again, being that whole person, that you have to have these pieces of yourself that are very honest and authentic and compassionate, yet you also have to have this business mindset, because that's also something that I leaned into. And that when you are fully yourself, if you are with the right people in the right environment, that's going, I don't want to say it's going to be rewarded, because I didn't feel like I was being rewarded, but I felt like I was given the opportunity to have an even bigger impact.
Right. Right. And I think that, and what I love about that is, one, I love the really being in who you are and living life fully in the mix of that. And when you do that, you can show up as your best self. And I think that's a different approach to leadership than, you know, when I was, I think it's been 12 years since I've been out of the corporate world. And I loved reading everything leadership when I was back in those days. And I think the piece that I missed when I go back to those days was that truly being me, right? It was like, there was positioning, there was, you know, showing up as, you know, what I thought I should be showing up as. And, you know, I think over the course of being an entrepreneur and being, you know, doing the work that I do today, that you have to be in the skin of who you are to show up authentically. And so I think that's a really interesting, you know, it's a lesson that I truly have learned over the years, is how to show up truly as me.
Mm-hmm. When I stopped trying to fit into a mold that I thought the organization wanted, when I brought everything I had to the table and, you know, just made sure that I, you know, did the things that I said I was going to do, and yet at the same time was, you know, 100% true to myself. Of course, I'm not saying bad behavior is allowed, right? But when I approached an organization from that perspective, like I said, I was better. I was able to do better work. I was better to work with, and it was just a much better experience.
Right. You were showing truly up as a person that you are versus trying to be a person. Mm-hmm. And that just never really works for us. No. So how did these lessons really shape your legacy leader program that you teach today, that you consult with today?
So it goes back to when we were talking about how I've built my current business and my client base. And that's my belief that how you leave an organization is just as important as what you do when you're there. Mm-hmm. That legacy that you leave has a lasting impact. And what's the lasting impact that you want it to have? Hopefully you want it to have a positive impact, right? And that your people reflect on your leadership at that organization and think about all of the incredible things that you did on both a business and a leader and a team and a colleague level. And so when I was thinking about, okay, from my perspective, because that is how I believe that I framed my leadership, I am very much an advocate of the ideas of authentic leadership and servant leadership. And at the same time, alone, I feel like those are missing a piece of the leadership pie. And so the way that I think about legacy leadership is there's four pieces to that, and that a legacy leader is someone who leads with a balance and a blend of strategy, authenticity, pragmatism, and compassion. Mm. And I think that blend is really important. And I'll give you an example, Cami. I think pragmatism a lot of times gets forgotten about. And if you are over-rotating on being a compassionate leader, mm-hmm. it can make it really difficult to make those hard decisions, for example, about people and about resources when you have to do that in order to keep a company viable. So the pragmatism comes in when you're saying, okay, these are the decisions that I have to make and they're hard, but they're the right things to do for the business. And now I'm going to leverage that compassionate aspect of my leadership to implement these decisions in a very thoughtful way that honors the humanity of the people that are being impacted.
I like that. Do you help your clients think through, when as you think through, you know, these four different buckets, how do you look at the roles and the connections between people that come into play with that?
Tell me more about what you're asking.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about it's like knowing that within an organization, we've got people above us, we've got people below us, we've got people beside mm-hmm. us. And when you're looking through the lens of legacy leaders, how do you bring in those components of it?
That's an excellent question. You know, I think it's going to be different, if I'm answering your question correctly, where you're at on that legacy leadership journey is going to be different depending on where you are in your career. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say where you are in an organization because I also have a belief that everyone is a leader. Every individual from a frontline employee all the way up to the CEO, you have an impact on other people, and that means that you lead in some way. Mm-hmm. And so how you show up on a daily basis is going to have an impact. And that is what, you know, we call your leadership shadow. What's your leadership shadow that you're going to cast? So all of those components are going to be important to some degree at every level. Now, obviously, where you are in your career is going to impact that. I would say that somebody coming out of college, you know, those are all areas you're going to be developing. Mm-hmm. Somebody who has been on a leadership journey where it's been very, very focused on business results might not have developed that authenticity muscle or that compassion muscle.
Right.
Someone who has been, you know, really grounded in the ideas of authentic and servant leadership might be missing a little bit of the strategy or the pragmatism. Now, obviously, when you are a CEO, you're going to be thinking much more strategically than, you know, if you're a frontline employee, but there are still components to that. For example, one of the ways that I define strategy, the strategy component of legacy leadership is deciding where you're going to spend your energy. Right. What are you going to give energy to? It doesn't mean, are you going to get the work done? But what are you going to give energy to? And that's a decision every single person can make on a daily basis, regardless of what role you have.
I like that a lot. And I mean, just even pausing to think about, you know, those four quadrants, you start to see, you know, if you just pause and think, where am I in this, and what helps me grow and expand in this space? Does it feel balanced against the others, or is one really, you know, feeling really weighty? Mm-hmm. I think that's just such a fabulous way to look at it. I know that you talk about unpacking your bags. What does that mean?
So this is my armchair philosophy, armchair psychology. And that is my belief that most of the baggage that we carry around, the emotional baggage, obviously not meaning to disrespect anybody who has had, you know, true emotional trauma, but a lot of the we'll call it more lightweight baggage that we carry around is either from our family of origin or junior high. And for me, it was junior high. And I, over the past 5 to 7 years, and this really started when that episode happened where I got passed over for the promotion, I mentioned I did a lot of self-reflection. And that is where I realized that there was a lot of baggage I was carrying around from my adolescence that was impacting how I showed up as a leader. Mm. It was impacting how I interacted with other people. episodes of reactivity that I might have, even if it wasn't like outwardly reactive, inwardly reacting to things, it was usually tied back to something from my adolescence. And for me, the example, the story I give is back around that same time that I got passed over for the promotion, I was responsible for designing, developing, and facilitating a good part of a leadership retreat. And the leadership retreat was for everybody who was a senior director and above, and I was a senior director. But there was also this component of how many levels down from the CEO you were. And I was 4 levels down, whereas all the other senior directors were 3. And so I was responsible for this event. I was designing the event. I was even facilitating part of the event, but I was actually not on the invitation list for the event.
Mm.
And Cami, I remember so vividly. I mean, I had such a negative reaction to this, and it was a very outward reaction. I was very upset. I had a lot of really passionate conversations with my manager about it, which I'm sure were not fun for her at all. And I was really, really hurt by this, incredibly hurt by the fact that I was not included in this leadership event. And then after the event, I really started to do some of the self-reflection, doing the work, right? And came to realize that this reaction that I was having was absolutely 100% tied to this need that I had ever since I was in 7th grade to feel like I was included,
mm-hmm.
to feel like I was part of the cool kids. And it went back to an episode in 7th grade where I was bullied, and that bullying continued itself throughout the year. And then all of a sudden it stopped because they probably found somebody else to pick on. But that impacted me so much that, and as I look back on the rest of my adolescence in college, that was always a theme of me wanting to be included and then being very hurt and feeling really low on myself when I felt like I wasn't being included. So I was able to identify that my very visceral reaction to not being included, I was actually interpreting based on that, you know, 12-year-old brain.
Right.
That I wasn't
you were
cool,
reacting.
I wasn't enough.
Right.
I was reacting.
Right.
So 6 months later, it's another leadership meeting. And again, I'm planning it, I'm designing it, I'm facilitating it. And again, I'm not invited to it. And I was sitting there, and again, this is a vivid memory. I'm sitting there at my desk and I've got the list of attendees in front of me. And I had this reaction of just this swell of heat coming up through my body and into my head, which I know now is the way that my body reacts to shame.
Mm.
And I felt so ashamed. But in that moment, I was able to identify it and say, I'm reacting to this because I feel left out, because I feel like that 12-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was able to take a deep breath and let it go and move on with the work. And that is an example,
right?
And that is unpacking your bags. I mean, man, I unpacked that thing and I spread it all over my office. And it, by doing that, it's not to say that I'm perfect. I mean, I can still have those moments, but the key is in being able to recognize it, that self-awareness and that self-management. Because when I wasn't doing that, not only was I allowing it to have this incredible impact on my personal energy and psyche, but I was impacting other people. I was impacting my manager and bringing all this negative energy to her. I was impacting my peers. I'm sure my husband really loved being around me at that point in time. I was impacting others because I was carrying this bag around. And so when I talk about leadership, I believe that a big part of really showing up as the best leader you can be in that leadership shadow is in understanding what those bags are, identifying those bags, working to unpack them, recognizing that you're not always going to be perfect, and then also being willing to talk to people and share that with them and share your story and your vulnerability,
right?
So that they can see the value in doing that same work, because it's hard. It's hard work.
It is hard work. It's interesting because I'm sitting here, I'm totally going back to, because, you know, when I was in the corporate world in my last year, I got passed over for a promotion. So I know that, that feeling, I know the energy that I gave to it. I know the bratty me that kind of came out in the mix of all of that as he became my boss. Right. I can go back to those times and know that I was not showing up in my best leadership because I was pissy. I was pissed. And at the same time, I can go back to that time and know that that was what took me out of the corporate world. I got laid off a year later, not even 6 months later, I got laid off. And I can look back at that now and know it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I would not have left the corporate world. I would have stayed in those kind of roles. And the expansion of where I went is that, you know, from there, starting my own business was such a beautiful gift. However, I can just reflect back on that. And there's so much lesson that is there to explore and to be curious about and own those moments of, okay, that wasn't my best moment. What was beneath that? Mm-hmm. And unpacking those bags. And from that, you know, and as entrepreneurs, we're going to have moments that are going to shake us as entrepreneurs. And making sure that we have unpacked our bags as entrepreneurs to not let those moments of not showing up as our best self, just take the energy. I mean, and I think that when you describe the energy taking a hold of us, I think that's a really good sign that we're not showing up in our best light. If we feel our energy being pulled into that's telling that story over and over and again in our head, right? You know, I talk about the R factor so much, the how we resonate is such a low vibe energy when we find something that pulls us down.
Absolutely. And that, you know, when I think about, similar to you, Cami, if I had gotten that promotion, I would not be sitting here in Colorado talking to you. Mm-hmm. None of the things that followed would have happened.
Right.
And when I was resonating at that really low energy, I was completely stuck. When I started to get over that, that's when the opportunities appeared
right.
to me.
Right. That's a great point, because that's where, when you stepped into the new role, you were excited about it. Mm-hmm. You were showing up in different high vibe energy. That's where the expansion took place.
Absolutely.
So cool. So cool. Love what you're doing. And I know your clients are loving the work that you're doing with them from a strategic perspective, with helping their leadership teams grow and expand. I'm just so excited to see how this all continues to grow for you. I know that you started your podcast, This Is How We Lead, Conversations with Legacy Leaders, back in April, right in the middle of, in the very beginning of COVID. And you got to interview a series of leaders who you really admire, exploring the question, how do you lead through difficult times? And now, what were some of the pieces, what were some of the nuggets that you really took from that?
One of the key themes that comes out if you listen to the podcast, and there's a lot of really amazing insights in there, and everybody has a little bit of a different spin on it. But the one thing that is consistent is the value of being vulnerable with your team and saying, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm a little worried too. You know, this is really difficult. This is really scary. This is really uncomfortable. I'm sitting here trying to have a client meeting and I've got two kids running around and it's not awesome. And I'm having a low day today, or, hey, I'm doing okay today. That willingness to be vulnerable reinforced what I was hearing from these leaders. It reinforced, again, something for me that I've come to believe is a really important aspect of leadership because of my own experience. And that is when you're willing to share your vulnerability with your team, it leaves space for them to do the same. And why that's important is because if we don't do that, we just sit there and kind of, you know, stew in our own juices and aren't necessarily able to move past something.
Right.
And by saying to someone, I'm really struggling, it gives them permission to say the same thing. And then the next step of that is, okay, now how do we move past that? Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the behaviors in corporate America that can become really toxic is this mindset of, we have to have this like stiff upper lip. We have to do what's best for the, you know, the business. We have to, you know, act like we're making all these decisions and they're the right thing for the business, so they're not hard, when some of these decisions are really hard. Like when I, in my past, had to lay people off, and I told the team, this is really hard. And I mean, it sucks, and it's okay for you to not feel great about this. You shouldn't feel great about this. I would expect that you feel pretty awful because your team members were impacted, and it's okay to feel that way. And we just have to figure out how as a team we're going to move forward. And I had team members come up to me the next day and say how grateful they were that I shared how I was feeling with them and gave them permission to not feel okay about something. Because so often in the corporate world, we can have this undertone, or sometimes it's just a straight tone of, you have to act like everything's okay.
Right.
And all that does is it just buries what's there, and it's not going to go away. It's just going to get bigger.
It's such a rigid way of thinking, right?
I mean, so
it's like
rigid.
The rigidity of that is there's no softness to it. There's no connection through that rigidity.
No. And each one of these leaders that I talked to on my podcast talked about the value of being honest and vulnerable with their team and the benefits that that brought out of it.
That's awesome. Well, so go check out Cynthia's podcast, This Is How We Lead, Conversation with Legacy Leaders. I know you're getting ready to start your second series, so go check it out. It's a great, great show. And Cynthia, I know you're a yoga teacher, and I don't want to not talk about this. I want to touch base on this. You're a yoga teacher on top of all the, you went through yoga training, let's put it that way. How does yoga shape your work in leadership?
Thanks for asking that, Cammie. That is a part of who I am, like my whole person. And I actually, when I went through yoga teacher training, it was because it was during that period when I was spinning, and I needed a way to fulfill myself outside of work. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad I did it, because it was exactly what I needed. It's what helped me do the work to unpack those bags. And I have been known to bring in some yoga philosophy when I'm advising leaders. Yeah. Because there's just a lot of really amazing ancient wisdom there. And one of the things that I'll talk about leaders with when we talk about, for example, giving feedback, is this idea of, in yoga philosophy, without getting too pedantic here, you've got the yamas and niyamas, which are kind of the guidelines for how you behave in the world. And two of them are ahimsa and satya. And ahimsa is non-harming or non-violence, and satya is truthfulness. So when you think about giving feedback, for example, non-harming, non-violence, and truthfulness, those have to be in balance. And that's one of the things they talk about in yogic philosophy, is you have to have the non-harming and the truthfulness in balance, that you can't say, oh, I'm going to be completely 100% truthful if it's just going to really hurt somebody else. Mm. But at the same time, you can't not be truthful either. And so one of the frameworks that I'll give leaders when we're thinking about feedback is, I will, I'll give them the three questions to determine if it's something that you should say. And those three questions are, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can answer those three questions in the affirmative, then, you know, it's good to move, it's right to move forward. If any one of those questions cannot be answered 100% affirmatively, you need to step back and think about why you are wanting to say this. And so that sort of philosophy, I find, just puts a little bit of a different spin on how we think about things and how we show up as leaders. And it can just get people thinking in a little bit of a different way.
Yeah. And what I love about this is, you know, I love us and our work that we're doing, our brand, the way we serve our clients, to show up as that whole person. And this is a piece of you. And I love that you've been able to weave that into how your clients experience you. And there's so much wisdom with it, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's like something that you are so passionate, passionate about and you hold the values of this. It's intricately a part of who you are. So being able to share that gift makes for a better world. So I love that you bring that in, and I'm glad we were able to touch base on that. So where can people learn more about you and legacy leadership?
So the best place to learn about the work that I do as a independent consultant with my own business is my website. And that is, the name of my company is 110 West Group. That's 110westgroup.com. And I've got some information on my website as well that explains the importance of the name of the company to me. And then also on LinkedIn, I've got, you know, business profile, my company profile, but primarily my activities on my personal profile and Cynthia Farrell. And that's where I share my podcast episodes as well. And it's also, those are available on all the mainstreaming players too.
Awesome. And it's, This Is How We Lead is the podcast. So check that out. So, and the final question that I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom do you want to leave with our audience today?
Oh, I love this question. And I probably have more than three because I am obviously a storyteller. The three that have really come to me over the past handful of years, which have been so transformative, are: one, admit when you don't know something and ask for help. There is so much power in saying, I don't know, mm-hmm. I need help. Mm-hmm. Two, ask better questions. Ooh. I am a storyteller by trade. I'm a talker. I always say I'm not a coach. I am very much the advice giver. But in order to connect with people, you have to want to get to know them. And it's about asking better questions and saying, well, tell me more about that. And those are my, that's actually not even a question, but those are my three favorite words. Tell me more. Tell me more. And I have heard the most amazing stories from people that, you know, you would never get to if you just went into it to tell your own story and right. just ask the surface questions.
Right.
And then my third pearl of wisdom, and this is has become my mantra over the past handful of years: the outcome you think you want isn't necessarily the outcome you need.
Ooh, I love that one. I love
and
it.
Cami, and I, that all goes back to if I'd gotten that promotion, I wouldn't have moved to my new company.
Right.
I wouldn't have gotten promoted. I wouldn't have gotten an exit package when my company, you know, separated me. And I wouldn't be sitting here in Colorado, which is a dream that my husband and I had had for over a decade.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so awesome. Well, Cynthia, it is such a pleasure to feature you today. I love all your stories. I love the work that you're doing. So honored to have you as a client. And thank you for joining us today on Extraordinary Women Radio.
Oh, Cami, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be on here and to be in partnership with all the other amazing women that you highlight on your podcast.
Oh, you bet. You have a good day.
Thanks, Cami.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business or impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at camigelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.